your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter joining you on today's podcast. No Jordan Hanskin today. I'm flying solo back from my trip from Nashville. Had a fun time at the Titans game, Bills Titans game on Monday night. And I mean, Nashville is incredible. If you have not been to an away Bills game, or hey, if you're looking for an away Sabre game to go to, that is absolutely the city to go to. Missed a couple of Sabre games while I was there. The opener against Montreal, we had that win over Arizona on Saturday afternoon, and then the win over Vancouver on Tuesday. And look at that, 3-0. The Sabres are 3-0. They are number one in the NHL when it comes to goal differential. The team that we thought on paper was going to be one of the worst teams we had ever seen, they are 3-0, and they have dominated each of their three opponents so far in the Montreal Canadiens, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Vancouver Canucks. In today's episode, I do want to do a deeper dive into why this is happening, why the Sabres have been as good as they have, and whether or not it is sustainable over the course of the season, where the chances are that it's sustainable over the course of the season. And we've got a couple of updates to get to you that from Wednesday's practice. But our next game is Boston on Friday night. The Sabres hosting the Boston Bruins. That is a stream-only game. Just a heads up for fans. ESPN Plus only. Radio, WGR 550. You will not be able to watch the game on MSG. So, might be a good game to check, you know, go check it out in person. You've got a very low attendance mark through the first couple of games, really, that is putting it lightly. You had 8,467 at the Sabres season opener against Montreal. You had 7,872 in the second game against the Arizona Coyotes, and then you had 7,376 when the Sabres played the Canucks on Tuesday night. Now, the Vancouver game being on a Tuesday, that is the toughest night of the week to be able to draw fans in and get a packed house. You had an opener where the expectations were as low as they've ever been for this team entering a season. That is not an exaggeration. Go back in the 51-year history of this franchise and find me another season where expectations were lower than they are this. They were coming into this year. And then you had the Coyotes in a Saturday afternoon game where the weather was nice and not a marquee opponent by any means. I mean, who's going to that game when you've only got so many nice weather days left for the year? So I guess you can kind of understand why it's been low, but this low, I mean, where half the building is full, is absolutely embarrassing. And it'd be nice to get, you know, at least 10,000 plus in that arena on a Friday night game where they're wearing white at home. It's not so easy to catch the game on TV, and they're playing a marquee opponent in the Boston Bruins. You cherry on top, there's gonna be a Linus Allmark tribute video, I'd imagine, coming back to play the Sabres for the first time. I believe he's supposed to start. But so far, by the way, attendance-wise, the Sabres are the lowest in the league. Not even close. Averaging under 8,000. The next lowest that I've got here is Ottawa at 11,613. So they're really not even close to the next team on the attendance mark. So that's what's coming your way for the Sabres on the schedule. You've got at practice on Wednesday afternoon, Vinny Hinostroza, Sabres forward, given a maintenance day at practice. It does not appear as though his injury is major. He's been playing really good so far through the first couple of games. Really like his speed. I think he's fitting in really well with Dylan Cousins and Jeff Skinner, kind of being that complementary player that's not doing anything fancy, but he's going into the corners, he's driving the net. I think he's really fitting in nicely with that line. He should be fine to play Friday. The player that is now worth watching, along with other injured players that are out, like Casey Mittelstadt, Henry Okiharju, and Matias Samuelsson, is now Sabres center Cody Eakin. Before the season, you might have even been thrilled that Cody Eakin was going to not be in the lineup for whatever reason. I think before the season started, I would have told you I would have had him as a healthy scratch, and I'm not even sure I would have thought that hard about it. I would have waived him and probably found some place for him to play in the AHL. Remember Matt Molson a couple of years ago? The Sabres didn't want him in the lineup anymore. They also didn't want to send him to Rochester with all the young kids. So they found an AHL team in California, the Ontario Reign. They sent him over there, and he played out the remainder of his Sabres contract for another team in the AHL. I was ready to do that with Eakin. Save the $1 million on your cap, which you don't even need, so I guess that part doesn't matter. Carve that spot out for a young player to come up and play, like J.J. Paterka maybe, or Jack Quinn, or whoever you want to throw in there. Just get him out of the lineup, because he was a sinkhole last year. He rivaled Vladimir Sobotka as one of the worst Sabres I've ever seen in my life. In fact, they would probably have been the two worst seasons I've ever seen. Sobotka had the worst three, and Eakin had the next worst. 36% goals for percentage, or expected goals for percentage last year is just, I mean, that is painfully low. One of the worst in the league last season for Cody Eakin. Can't skate, they looked like. Couldn't contribute anything offensively. Was supposed to be this defensive wizard. He was not, turning the puck over all the time. Was not good on the penalty kill. He won faceoffs, and that was it. And that was Vladimir Sobotka from the year before, who we had finally gotten rid of, and they just replaced him. But this year, it's only three games. It's only three games. I do not believe it's going to stay at this level. He's gone from, it's got to be the biggest jump in the league, goals, expected goals for percentage, from 36% last season to 65.5% this year. Now, his career high is 51%. 65 is not going to hold up. Can he get back to that? You look at his career average. He's around 47, 48, 49% expected goals for every year. Can he get back around that area? Can he, so last year, scoring chances for percentage, 35%. This year, it's 62%. So this year, when he's on the ice, the Sabres are getting 62% of the scoring chances. For his career in that metric, again, typically around 50%. Can you get back to that? Can you get back to, hey, look, he's a third line center in the NHL and he can penalty kill. Like, fine. That is a usable player. He doesn't mean anything for the future, but he could end up being a guy you spin at the deadline if things aren't going well. And if you are going to be, I don't think this is going to maintain, but if you are going to be a threat to make the playoffs over the course of the year, then Eakin can help you in that regard. So, even though we have to wait to see what this injury is going to be, we'll find out more so on Thursday. It is a chance to kind of talk up Cody Eakin, give credit where credit is due, and call it like it is. It would be a loss if he was not in the lineup on Friday against Boston. That line with Eakin, Okposo, and Gergensen's, it has really been kind of a replica of the log line from a couple of years ago where Johan Larsson was centering Gergensen's and Kyle Okposo. And what you had 2 years ago, what made that line so good, was just they always had the puck. You could not take them off the puck, and you could not keep it in the offensive zone when they were out there. Larsson, Okposo, Gergensen's were great at getting the puck in their own end, skating it up the ice, and just cycling round and round and round and round in the offensive zone. It actually, think about it, a good offense makes a great defense. You've heard that saying your entire life. They weren't even needing to score goals, but what made them such a good defensive line was they just always had the puck. You couldn't score on them because you never had the puck when they were out there. And Larsson leaving last year, Gergensen's being injured and being out for the season, they lost that line completely. Okposo could not do it on his own. Eakin was not able to kind of be his partner in crime there, and they kind of lost one of their better lines, honestly, from the year before. This year, Gergensen's back, Okposo is playing out of his mind, and Eakin is back to being a competent bottom six forward. I think the goal scoring, Eakin's got a goal, Gergensen's has got a couple, Okposo's got a couple. They're not going to score more than a goal a game as a line. It's not going to happen. It's happened through three games. That is not going to hold up through the course of the season. It's not a fair ask to expect that out of that line. But I think it's a fair ask and fair expectation to believe that they can be the log line 2.0, that they could be the line that takes the puck from you in the defensive zone on a consistent basis, and they just cycle round and round, and they always have the puck. And that allows them to be one of the better defensive lines in hockey, despite the fact that they won't be scoring a lot of goals. I think Eakin is obviously, I think for that to happen, for that to occur, you're really going to want him to play the way that he has in the past and not the way he played last year for the Sabres. So good start to the season for him, and I hope he's able to go on Friday night, but we don't really know the extent of his injury. By the time you listen to this on Friday afternoon, on Thursday afternoon, you might know his status, but at this point, we do not. All right, we will take a timeout in just a second here, and we're going to come back, and then I want to get to what has gone so right for the Sabres this season, kind of comparing Don Granato's system to Ralph Kruger's system, looking at some other individuals as well. But first, before we do that, I want to take a quick minute to talk to you about Built Bar. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. They've got a bunch of amazing, delicious flavors. Cookie dough, easily my number one, because you got the little pieces of real cookie dough in there. They also just sent me a new flavor, blueberry muffin, which I have not tried yet. I'll get back to you on whether or not that one's good. I don't really think I've had one, though, that I did not like yet, but definitely the top ones for me: German chocolate, cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut brownie. Not a coconut guy, but the brownie part of it, I don't know what it is, the crunch or something, like, it's just, it's incredible. And they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, amazing flavors, and they're all tasty and all healthy. And right now, if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com. And this episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. They are back and better than ever. New web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action of the season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive their 15% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase.
The Bills lost on Monday. They're coming up on a bye week. This is actually perfect. I don't think this is going to last, but it's perfect that the season started this way as the Bills go into a bye week, because the Sabres can really own the next 2 weeks of Buffalo sports here if they keep it up. Friday night against the Boston Bruins. That game, by the way, is going to be streamed only. So, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And I think it's really a pretty simple explanation. And that is, again, couching it with, I know it's only three games. And they've played three teams that are probably bad. One that is certainly bad in Arizona. And then Montreal, who, remember, even though they made the finals last year, was, I mean, they barely squeaked in. 16th team in the league. And then the Canucks, who are just floundering around, thinking they can squeeze their way into the playoffs every year, and once every 3 years they do it, and it's just enough to keep the GM's job. But are they really that good? I've never thought of Vancouver as being that threatening. So they've played one team that is certainly bad and two teams that are maybe bad and at best average. Boston Friday night, that'll be a real challenge. So that's part of it. But, you know, like, I've seen, and I have no problem with this because I think these tweets are more for the national hockey audience anyway, not just Buffalo. But, like, Ryan Lambert, one of my favorites from Elite Prospects, Matt Larkin from the Hockey News, you know, like, you're seeing tweets out there like, well, the Sabres have never started hot in a season before. Let's slow down on the playoff talk. First of all, no one's talking about the playoffs. At least they shouldn't be. Two, even though it's a very small sample size, and this very well could change, they could keep winning games doing it a different way. But so far, three games. The big difference is the Sabres are outplaying their opponents, and they are doing it handily. Even in the 10-game win streak, both the 10-game win streak that Phil Housley had in 2018 and the 8-1-1 stretch that Ralph Kruger had when he showed up in 2019, the similarity in those two situations where the Sabres were getting run over possession-wise, they were getting out of this world goaltending, and their shot percentage was through the roof. They were scoring on almost every opportunity they were getting, and the goalies were playing out of their minds. But the other team was possessing the puck more. The other team was generating more scoring chances, and you were needing shootouts to beat them. And I know the Sabres won one of their games in a shootout through the three games, but the difference so far is that the Sabres are controlling the play. They are the team with more scoring chances. They are currently first in expected goals at 5-on-5 against. They are second in expected goals percentage. They are third in the league in Corsi 4 percentage. They are getting chances, and they are doing it at a much higher rate than their opponent is. They are legitimately outplaying Montreal, Arizona, and Vancouver. That is why it might not be a fluke. If you can win and win that way, where you are skating up and down the ice, where you just see it. It's so easy to see how Granato, like, they've improved in a couple of ways. I'll get Granato, that's probably the most important, so I'll save that for last. But they've, like, where have they improved? Because the roster on paper has not. They have lost, if you looked at it from the outside especially, Jack Eichel is not on the ice. The most talented player you've had in 20 years plus. Sam Reinhart is not on the ice, who has been nearly a point a game player. You don't have Ristolainen on the ice. Again, from the outside, you might look, oh, your number one defenseman. Puts up 40-plus points a year. He's not there. Linus Allmark is not there. Your number one goalie from the past couple of years. But where have they improved? Because on paper, coming into the year, they really hadn't improved anywhere. But as you're seeing now, there are areas of improvement. They have replaced Carter Hutton's 5,300 minutes from the last 3 years. That guy played 5,300 minutes for you in the last three seasons. Just replacing that with anything else is an upgrade, because there have been literally no goaltenders in the league that have been worse than him the past couple of seasons. Now, Tokarski's played one game. Can he hold up through the season doing that? Maybe. I wouldn't want to commit to that. But so far, just replacing Carter Hutton's minutes to where you went to your backup goalie and you were going to lose. You were going to lose every time. Replacing 5 minutes a night of Rasmus Ristolainen and spreading it around. 25 minutes a night. Spreading it around to Robert Hägg and Will Butcher and Dahlin and Joki Haru when he's on the ice. He's not right now. Colin Miller. That is an upgrade. It really is. It's so much easier to control the puck. It's so much easier to get the puck out. Robert Hägg made a play last night that was stark to me that I immediately thought Ristolainen would never make this play. It was Hägg in front of the net. He had it in front of his own net. And he could have very easily, he was under pressure. He had the puck, but he was under pressure and in a dangerous situation. And to me, what'd he do? He put it up the wall, off the boards, and to one of his forwards that was streaking towards the middle, right on the tape. He used the boards to make a pass, and he had the vision to move it around the defender that was right in front of him. What does Rasmus Ristolainen do in that situation? He punts. He was the Doug Marrone of the Buffalo Sabres. He would punt every time. You throw it to the other team at center ice. You get it out, and we start again. And then they come back in, and they control the play, and then you punt it back to them. There's actual vision on the ice from these defensemen. Really, from all of them. I love how they've built their blue line. It's all players that have vision, that are able to pass the puck, get it up to their forwards, and not just turn it over every single time. Hägg does it. Butcher does it. Pesek does it. Dahlin does it. Bryson. They all do it. I would say they all do it well. Are they a tough defensive core? No, they're not. But they move well and they pass well. And to me, that was the one area of their game I thought they would be league average. I thought coming into the year, I thought the goaltending would be the worst in the league, second worst to Hutton. I thought they would be the worst team in the league scoring goals because they have no goal scorers. But the blue line would be league average. And so far, the blue line looks good. Very good. But really where the big improvement has been, Granato. Granato versus Kruger. There is just so much more movement, especially by the defensemen, but even by the forward groups. There is a constant cycle going on. No one is ever stagnant. And that was always happening under Ralph Kruger, Phil Housley, and to a lesser extent, Dan Bylsma, but especially Housley and Kruger. Those systems were so stagnant. Everyone was flat-footed so often. And it was so tough to build up speed. They're more aggressive on the forecheck. You're allowing skilled players to be skilled and make mistakes. And sometimes that's going to get you beat. But It's going to be fun to watch, and I think you're going to win more hockey games doing it that way.
All right, that is it for me on today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast. I will rejoin you on Thursday. Jordan Hanskin will rejoin me on Friday after the Sabres play the Boston Bruins. Thank you for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. And now, make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.